is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And today, another candidate interview. We've covered a lot of different candidate interviews in recent weeks, but not one for this particular office. Sherry Helt, candidate for the Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries, joining us from Bend. Sherry, thanks for being on today.
Kyle, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I love this opportunity to be able to talk to Douglas County today.
So talk about your background and career, some of the things you've done over the course of your life.
Okay, so this is an exciting position for me because it fits really well with all the experience that I've had in my life. I'm a wife of 30 years. I'm a proud mom of three. My son is grown and serving in Poland right now with the National Guard out of Portland, and he is over there, and we're very proud of him. And my husband and I have owned a business for 18 years. We have owned Zydeco Kitchen and Cocktails. It's a restaurant in downtown Bend. And we, at the height before the pandemic, when all the closures happened, we had 104 employees. And so we're proud to be able to provide benefits to our employees. We pay for full health insurance and matching 401k at 6%, sick leave and vacation time. So we've had a long history of being business owners. And I was also on our school board for 9 years. And when I was on the school board, I really focused on making sure that we had career and technical education available to our students, because that was a very important focus for me. And I also served in the legislature for one term. I was in the House of Representatives. I followed Newt Bueller after he left representing Bend.
And what led to you running for this office?
Well, if you take all of that experience together, being a business owner and understanding what it's like to run a business and have regulations and serve our employees well and make sure that we have, you know, a fair and balanced space to operate our businesses in, along with a career and technical education focus in the school board and the state legislative experience, you're able to draw kind of a map of what the BOLI office does, because BOLI upholds first and foremost civil rights complaints from all employees, and we want to make sure that we have a fair and balanced approach for that and that the agency is transparent and meeting its obligations. And then with my experience as a business owner, I understand that very well. And then the other portion of the job that the BOLI commissioner does is helps with apprenticeships. And so I really want to expand out our apprenticeships and start working with our school boards and our career counselors to be able to include in our skilled high wage jobs for apprenticeships and really build those up and get more electricians and more plumbers out there in our communities, more construction apprenticeships, and also working towards getting more healthcare apprenticeships so that we don't have our healthcare system so overwhelmed with lack of workforce. So those are the things that I think, if you take all my experience together, it fits the job really well. And then one piece that most people don't know about the BOLI commissioner is they make sure that our veterans get job access to interviews, and that if they're weighted interviews, that they get a 5% bump on their interview if they are a veteran, and 10% if they're disabled veterans. And so I really want to be able to champion our veterans as well.
I want to go back to your comment about apprenticeships. It seems like there's an increasing interest in that for a number of reasons, for rural communities as a way to have a path for students to get higher paid jobs without leaving the area, especially ones that don't necessarily need a four-year education at a university to do that. But also because a lot of those trades, a lot of those areas you mentioned, we're seeing people retire, certainly in the pandemic, seeing more of that. And a lot of those areas right now have got a real shortage of workers.
Yeah, so what I want to be able to do is meet with our business folks and our employees and figure out where the gaps are, right? And create a map of how many people we need to be going into these jobs and what the wages are, and then work with our career and technical education counselors in our high schools to be able to present these to our students when they're graduating as career opportunities. Because right now, if you go into a high school and you want to go to a college, they can give you an application, the name of the counselor you call, how much it'll cost, how long your program will last, and you're set. There's no mystery. But if you want to go into, you know, a trade job that is highly waged and skilled and an excellent career for our kids and will fill a gap in our economy and our workforce and our communities, there is no path for you. And so what I want to do is really create that path. So if you want to be an electrician, here's who you call, here's how long it takes, this is what the commitment's going to be, this is what your wages are going to be. And they're really great wages. When I was down in Coos Bay this weekend, I was talking to a woman who owned a plumbing business, and she's really struggling to get enough apprenticeships, and their business is so busy that they're all being overworked. And so she really was focused on the fact that their economy needs more plumbers down there. And so that's something that I would really focus on and make sure that we can create that path so that it's not a mystery anymore for our kids.
What are your thoughts about how the Bureau of Labor and Industries is currently operating?
I think it's failing our state. I think that it's on the wrong track. And we need to make sure that this agency upholds its obligations and is transparent. Right now on the website, it says that there's a backlog of unassigned cases. I mean, we can't even assign the cases. It's not just a backlog. These cases haven't been assigned to a person. That's negligent, in my opinion. And the agency has been closed. It was supposed to open on May 1st. And I've not been able to get a hold of anybody or find anybody to tell me if it's open or not yet. So I'm not sure if it opened on May 1st, but that seems like an awful long time to continue to close an agency while our employees in our state are working and they have nowhere to physically go to be able to talk to someone. If employees are working, Bowley should be working. It's really important that we are upfront and honest. When I went down to Medford, there's an office there listed on the website for Bowley. And when I went there, there is no office there. The people that worked in it retired and they never replaced the people down there. But on the outside of the building, it still says Bowley. On the website, it still says Bowley. We can't tolerate an office, a government agent that runs like this. We need to fix it.
What do you know about the size of the staff for Bowley?
It's 130 people. So when I talked about my business, we had 104 employees before the pandemic, and we're currently at about 63. We're clawing our way back from all of the closures and all of that. So we are very proud of where we're at, and we're proud to be able to have our employees back working and up and running and doing a great job. But my experience, I'm the only candidate in this race that has had experience managing, you know, close to that many people. And so I think that it's really important that we prioritize, you know, education for our businesses and making sure that we don't have a backlog of unassigned cases and that we're doing our work that is required of us statutorily by law.
Because this agency deals with labor situations, employers. I'm curious what your path was through the pandemic for your restaurant.
We worked as hard as we could and we tried to keep our doors open. When Governor Brown shut us down on March 17th, we lost 90% of sales overnight and we went down to 12 employees. We did to-go, we did everything we could to stay open and worked as hard as we could. And we are proud to be open in full and having, you know, a majority of our employees back. And we're really proud of the work we were able to do. We were proud of the community support. We also did for our community, in order to keep our staff busy, our coworkers busy, we all did meals for people that were affected. We did meals for foster care families. We did meals for the teachers. We did meals we were able to cook meals so that we could have, you know, more work and give them away to people, veterans. And so we did all kinds of meals over 3 months to make sure that we were open. That's how we kept our doors open.
More when we come back. Sherry Helt, candidate for Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast after 1. 1247 Kyle Daly, News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. This is Inside Douglas County. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming at 1. Later today, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show with Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. It is National Small Business Week, and tomorrow, Kim Todd from CCD Business Development will talk about some of the current programs that agency has to help small business in the area. Sherry Held, candidate for Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries, joining us from Bend this afternoon. Sherry, since you've jumped into this race, this is not an office that is highly visible to a lot of people in terms of versus running for governor, Congress, in counties, running for commissioner, things like that. What's been the reaction to your campaign as you've traveled around the state?
Well, I think, you know, Oregonians are really ready for a new direction. And, you know, your last question, you asked about what it was like running a business during the pandemic. It was hard, and our businesses have been hit particularly hard, especially our small businesses, with ever-changing regulations. And I think that it's time that Oregon brings forward some stability and brings a fair and balanced approach for our businesses. We can't change the rules every day, right? We need to have a steady hand and steady leadership. And that's what I want to bring to this office, and that's why I'm running. And so I'm getting a lot of very positive feedback because our businesses and our employees, because what's good for our businesses is usually good for our employees and vice versa. And so I think everyone in Oregon is really ready for a new direction. Now, this office may not be as, you know, exciting as the governor's office, but I think it is. And I think it's a really important office. It's the most important office that you've never heard of.
Now, of course, Val Hoyle, the incumbent running for Congress, we talked with her the other day. There's 7 people running for this job. It's a nonpartisan position. How active have you been going around the state?
I have been over. I've been canvassing the state. I've been down the coast. I've been over to the southern part of the state and up to the northern part of the state into Portland. I'm out every week canvassing and talking to people. I will be in Salem this weekend with Representative Moore Green. We'll be walking doors in the Salem area. I'm out there campaigning as much as I can because I think it's important that I meet with people and understand what their values are for our state and what is affecting their businesses, or how, if they're an employee, how they're affected and what they want to see. It's really important for me to be connected to people and understand what they need if I'm going to serve them.
Now, perspectives seem to really vary a lot about this office. Some people focus more on the labor side of things and workers' rights and things like that. Some people believe the office should be focused more on the business aspect. How do you balance both sides of labor and industries?
Well, I think you just do that. I think you find a balance. I think that this office has been highly politicized in the past, and I view this more of a job than an office, right? We have an obligation to address all of the civil rights cases and disability cases that come before us and fair housing cases. And we also need to make sure at the same time that we are educating our businesses on what we're expecting of them instead of having egregious fines that we've seen in the past with some other labor commissioners. Like Brad Avakian, and we need to make sure that we're having a fair and balanced approach. And that's what I want to do and bring to this office, is make sure that this office is working for our people, that it's not closing out our, you know, state's employees while they're working. And, you know, this office has not had a fair and balanced approach. The home health care workers have not been paid on time for over 7 months. Over 8,000 employees have gotten their paychecks late and not correct. And this office has never weighed in on that. And so I think that we need to make sure that we're there for all of our employees. When the unemployment department failed at getting everybody checks out for months and months and months, this office never weighed in. And we needed to make sure that our employees were able to get their unemployment when the government shut them out of their work. And this office did not weigh in on that. So I don't think that this office has ever been balanced. And that's what I want to bring to this office, is balance and a voice for all Oregon workers.
If you had been in place when the issue with the State Employment Department took place in the spring of 2020, what kinds of things would you have pushed for the employment folks to do differently?
Well, first, I was a legislator at that point in time, and I did ask for Kay Erickson's resignation, and I would have done that as well. And then I would have met with David, and I did meet with David as a legislator. He is the current director of the Employment Department, and I would continue to work with him and figure out what we need to do to make these checks come out, and how can we help, and what can we advocate for? Because we cannot accept the fact that we are not getting money out to folks that need money. As a legislator, I helped over 500 people in my district get money, and some of them took up to 20 weeks. That's just not acceptable. And we have to work together to solve the problems. And I would collaborate to solve problems, but also be a voice to hold people accountable and say, this is not acceptable.
And one of the areas where we got a lot of feedback during that time frame was folks that were self-employed, who would normally, you know, be working as hairdressers, things like that. Many of them never getting through the system and going months without getting any unemployment at a time that they were totally or at least partially shut down.
Yeah, and so there is some things that need to be legislated into statute and passed by law, because that was a federal program and we couldn't put it in state program. We couldn't combine the two. And so there's a lot of work there to be done if something, God forbid, ever would happen where they would need to do access funds that way. Let's hope we never have shutdowns again, because we know they didn't work and I would never advocate for those. But we need to make sure that while the Employment Department is now paid out these claims, we, as a BOLI director, I would go in there and work with the director and say, hey, what do we need to do to make sure that we are ready if you need to get funds out to independent contractors again, and how do we make sure that that's more fluid? I mean, first and foremost, we need to make sure that all of our software is updated and advocate for that. I'm sure that, you know, the BOLI department being backlogged is a lot to do with their software as well. And so that is something that we need to do. But we need to make sure that we are working on and foreseeing problems that could arise in the future. And that's, you know, that's what we expect of our leaders, right? We call that leadership.
Talk about how this race works. We're voting on it in the primary. Is this where it concludes? Or if nobody gets over 50%, do the top two candidates move on to November? How's it set up?
Okay, so everybody, like, this is the part that you need to listen to the most out of anything that I've said. This is an interesting way that this works, because it is a nonpartisan race. So nonpartisan races can be decided in May. So on May 17th, we could say, hey, for the first time in over 40 years, we want a small business owner in charge of our business and labor, right? And we can win it in May. If we all turn out and vote, that can happen. However, if no one gets 51%, then it moves to November with the top two candidates as a runoff.
What are the first things you would do if you're elected to the position?
I would call for an audit. The first thing, I have a whole plan because, you know, I'm a business owner. That's what we do, right? I want an audit department. I want to audit it from a state perspective. Also, I'll ask the Secretary of State to do an outside audit, and I'll do an internal audit to identify the strengths and weaknesses of the business. I want to meet with every staff to understand the tools they need to do their jobs better and where we're falling down as well. I want to implement a strategic plan to address all the civil rights cases with public metrics so that I have a transparent approach. I want to put up a dashboard to show you where the cases are so that it's not a mystery for anybody. We can know if this office is serving you well or not, and hold us accountable. And then I want to create the pathway for the apprenticeships for our students from high school to career by meeting with workforce boards and union leaders and employers and businesses across the state. And then I want to also work on the address the workforce housing shortage, because this office is overseas workforce housing or fair housing. And I believe that our workforce is being left behind with our lack of supply that we have for our workforce in the state.
Real quick, as we get ready to wrap up, talk about your website and how people get more information about you.
My website is Sherry Helt. That's CHERIHELT.com. And if you want to talk to me more, just reach out and I will make sure that I'm accessible. I think that our leaders need to be accessible and transparent.
Sherry Helt, candidate for Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries. Thank you for being on Inside Douglas County.
Thanks so much, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.